It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
You know, and like I said at the beginning of last hour, on assignment this week. Now, the assignment's probably somewhere south of Fouchon off of Louisiana, but we'll be getting we'll see him tomorrow when he brings his fish back in here at the 86th Annual Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, doing our live coverage from down here. And if you didn't hear the beginning of last hour, how about those numbers? I thought it was, let's put it this way. When the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo was certified as the planet's largest multi-day fishing tournament, they had 20 that year. They had 2,500 anglers, 2,500 individual anglers tickets sold. That's when Guinness said, "Okay, y'all got this." They closed out with over 4,200 individual angler tickets sold for the 86th annual Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, besting the record they set last year at 3,700 something. So it is quite an accomplishment. The JCs, I brag on them all the time because they deserve it. They work year round on this stuff, even though you can only see them here during rodeo weekend. They're working on this year round, and they are great charitable partners for our community. Whether they're giving back to fisheries like Dolphin Island Sea Lab, given to children through special shopping trips for underprivileged children at Christmas, working on children's charities and local charities throughout the year. There's a bunch of great folks here with the JCs, and let me point out their wives do a yo woman's task here putting it on as well. So you got to come see it. And it is an entertainment show. I joke with them all the time. It's this big fishing tournament. It's also turned into a big music festival as well. They have music throughout the weekend. This goes on today into tomorrow. So come by, see some big fish, check out the music and the sights and sounds here at the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. And how about that? Some of the fish that have come in. New category this year, Warsaw Grouper, has a lot of people excited, like me, seeing those. Also, swordfish already in, tuna already in, and a lot to check out. So come out, be part of it. ADSFR.com. All the details are on there. And I want to talk about something that we talked to Neil Foster about, I guess it was last week's show, the week before, and this is the technology of Night Track. And I want to get into this with Kevin from Night Track, and but I will tell y'all, you can go, if you're listening to us talk, this is one of these things. Now, I think radio is better than any other medium out there, but sometimes you got to see it to believe it. And you can go to our Facebook page and check out some of the videos from Night Track. Also, I'm sure Kevin will tell us some places online to check out your technology as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. GoNightTrack.com is one.
Okay. And Go Night Track, is it spelled?
Night is N-I-T-E.
Okay.
T-R-A-C-K.
All right. Gotcha. So don't try to spell it the right way, y'all.
Correct.
Do it the short way, N-I-T-E. And this is, okay, people will hear us talk about night vision, and a lot of things come to mind if they haven't seen this. First of all, the old default would be the thermal imaging stuff. They've seen the videos that are
sure.
Heat sensitive or something like that, where it's fairly blurry. You see, oh, I can see that blob, and that does sure look like a deer there, or that sure looks like something else. Then they go on to think about other technology that you can see, but it's like your TV in the old days, y'all. And for the kids, they don't understand, but back when you had rabbit ears and you barely got the signal from the far TV tower, and it was kind of, you could tell, yeah, that's a person there, and I think that's a woman, and there's a car. And then what y'all have done here is given, I don't know if this term is right, high definition to night vision.
It's definitely high definition, and it all goes back to Bell Labs working on a project for NASA, and they created technology that could sense minute traces of light at faraway galaxies. They were looking for new galaxies, and they were putting this technology into telescopes in satellites, launching them, putting them into space, and looking for new galaxies. That's how the technology was born. That was the reason to create it. And now, fortunately, the man behind the technology for us thought it might be a way to provide affordable night vision
mm-hmm.
for outdoors people, especially boaters. I come from Florida. I live in Miami, and Miami-Dade County leads the state of Florida every year in boating fatalities, and a lot of those fatalities happen at night. I worked for the Sheriff's Department for 32 years. Part of that time was spent in the Marine Unit, and we had to actually go out and sadly recover the victims of those tragedies. And that was one of the reasons why we wanted to get this technology out, was to have an impact on the safety of boating at night.
And that's, you know, and there's more and more, as more people buy more boats and get into fishing or just boating, which I've never understood that. You have a boat and don't go fishing, but people do that. And get into this, more people are going to travel, come back late, leave early, or just go out at night on purpose. For a lot of folks, it will be that kind of, I want to get out there and be snapper fishing by daylight, so I'm going to leave an hour and a half before daylight. Or I want to keep it till while we're catching fish, I don't want to stop. I'm going to fish here till it's dark and then go home.
Exactly.
There's a lot of that. And then there's people who use it. They're running at night, fishing all night, doing those kind of things.
Well, since I've re-entered the marine industry after retiring, more and more and more bass tournaments are being held at night. And sadly, there have been accidents during those tournaments. So, you know, even bass fishermen could benefit from the safety of this kind of technology.
And this is what is, and I, just in the few videos I've seen, you can see things. I was watching one of the videos that Neil Foster had taken offshore fishing. I thought that was important. He's pulling up to a rig. And in this video, y'all, this is what you got to see these videos. He pulled up to the rig, and of course you can see the rig, you know, it's clear as a bell and all that stuff. But you can see a half of a big crew boat rope laying in the water. You couldn't do that with a Q-beam unless you pressed right on it. You couldn't do that. That got my attention. That was the one subtlety in this video. When I saw it, I said, this is different. And obviously, anybody knows, if you run over that rope with between one and four engines on your boat and wrap it up, it's going to, and you're right up against a rig at that point, it's going to be a bad night.
I heard Neil talking about someone who must have tangled a hawser, something that big and thick, and the torque on his outboard actually broke the drive shaft on it when stopped spinning. You know, it put a lot of torque on that and broke the shaft. So that's one of the things that we're trying to have an impact on. Fixed objects, collisions with fixed objects, are a huge percentage of the boating accidents, especially at night. People can't see what's out in front of them, and they accidentally run into channel markers that hurricanes have blown the signs off of. So basically, you run into a telephone pole at whatever speed you're running at, and people are going to be hurt. They're going to be ejected from that boat and very often killed. If you go in the water unconscious, you're going to drown.
Yeah, that's
usually the reason for the fatalities is drowning.
Well, and this is back off of kind of another subject on that, but I've talked about it on past shows. My over the years, from kind of being always having the PFDs on the boat to be legal, but not wear many. Then I got married and I started wearing them running at night. Then I had children and I started wearing them a lot more. And then obviously when my children got big enough to go, they wear them. And I did it for this. I'm a heck of a swimmer. I've been swimming since I was 2 years old. But I think I'm conscious when I do that. And, you know, two deaths of people I've known here along the Gulf Coast were heck of swimmers and great woodsmen and great outdoorsmen. They were unconscious when they hit the water.
There's not a lot you can do about that.
No. So that's the reason for keeping those PFDs on. Because, yeah, I mean, you probably are a great swimmer when you're conscious.
At some of the boat shows, believe it or not, the mothers of young children who boat at night, they're our biggest fans.
Sure.
And they actually drag their husbands in to take a look at the technology and try to convince them that they need that to protect the family.
Well, this, and I want to get into the actual units you'll have and the price points to make it available for a lot of people like me.
Sure.
To get into this, but the just from running at night over the year, so I duck hunt, I fish, gator hunt, we do these things at night. You can, and I know the waters here. I know the waters in the Mobile Tensaw Delta. This is what I've grown up doing. But at night, you can get screwed up how far along a bank you are. You know, you think, oh, I'm right here. And really, when you line up, you're not right there. You're further past. You're there. So you might know where that channel marker is, you think, but maybe you're not right where you think you are if you're running at night. And this technology changes everything. We're going to come back and talk more with Kevin about the different ways you can put night track on boats. Take it with you by hand. Pretty cool stuff. Y'all got to check it out. Go to our Facebook page for some of those videos. He'll give us the website once again when we come back live at the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. It's FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, live at the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. And hopefully you can get out to check it out today and tomorrow. as fish have been coming in. Big fish have been already coming in, and you'll continue to see that. And obviously, lots of anglers, over 4,200 individual angler tickets sold. A lot of people down here. And the music shows, man, you've got music going on tonight and tomorrow. The party atmosphere continues here on Dauphin Island. And Kevin from Night Trax is our guest, and we really interesting technology out there. And I want to talk about Night Trax because people hear all the stuff you just said, and they're going to say, that's cool. And I'm this guy. I'm that part of the customer base. This has got to be something that's kind of out of my range. This is something that's, you know, you hear that kind of technology. Sure, the guy who has the, you know, the 70-foot Viking, he gets that. And as a cost of the entire boat is probably not big. But those of us running, you know, 23, 25, 26, 28, 30-foot center consoles around here, that may be out of range. But y'all got something in a price point where we can do this.
We've really tried to keep the prices down, to get it out to as many people as possible. We want to create a safer environment for people to enjoy the water at night. There's always been a pucker factor, and this certainly
right.
reduces that because you can see what's out in front of you, and that's the fear factor of it.
Yep.
You don't know what's out in front of you in the dark, and this technology keeps it down. So, you know, at $31.99 unit, we have done everything we could possibly do to reduce the cost of the manufacturing and to bring that technology to as many people as possible.
You saw you got my attention, too. We were talking about there's the mounted unit, but then you started talking about the handheld.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking about for, you know, and multiple boats, multiple things I do, but for going duck hunting, gator hunting, frogging, these kind of things, this I can go from one boat to the next boat with this thing.
You sure can. A little more expensive because of the needs of battery power and things like that to last a long time. It was originally developed for law enforcement and military use.
It had an idea of being handheld or mobile.
You know, and Americans are good at figuring out ways to use something for multiple purposes.
Yes.
And that's the evolution of some of our products. It's not just for law enforcement. It's not just for military. Outdoors people can also enjoy it and
use
it.
Well, thank God there was NASA to start looking for stars to do all this for us, right?
Exactly. Yeah, we got Tang.
Yeah, this we got Tang,
yeah.
And we've got this. We got Night Trax. This is good.
Aluminum blankets.
Yeah, I like all those things.
Sure.
Well, aluminum blankets are good for keeping you alive. I don't like it, but so that's good. And then Tang is Tang, and this stuff is unreal. This is what I like, though, is the fact that you have this, and there's a lot of people in our neck of the woods here on the Gulf Coast that have more than one boat.
Sure.
They have what they call the duck boat or the hunting boat, and then they have a fishing boat. And the way this works, either a mounted unit that you can have a separate mount and move it, or this handheld to where you buy one and use it on multiple boats.
Mm-hmm. We developed our pro kit, as it's called, for that person who has not only boats, maybe an offshore boat or a flats boat, but also an ATV or a side-by-side, a Polaris or something like that. I've even mounted it on a mountain bike to show law enforcement agencies that you could do surveillances with your bicycle-trained people at night where you can hear everything that's going on around you. And now with the handheld unit or the mounted unit, you can see everything that's going on around you.
Let's talk about how you see it. Let's go first to a full-time dedicated mount.
Sure.
Here we go. We got a 28-foot center console. We're going to do this. How do you mount this, and where do you look at it? What's the screen for this?
Well, it's always beneficial to mount the unit as high as you possibly can on your boat. So the T-top for a center console,
higher you get
is
line of sight,
tailor-made. The higher you mount it, the farther away your horizon is. So with a sport fishing boat up on that tuna tower, you're gonna really lengthen out that horizon, the distance to the horizon. It allows you to see just the technology alone. You'll be able to see clouds, cloud formations, bad weather at long range distances. Any kind of lightning over the Bahamas, you're gonna see just offshore Miami.
Wow.
That's how sensitive the light is. You'll see the sun long before
53 miles across there, right to Andros.
Long before the sun comes up, you'll see the sun in the sky on the horizon.
And this is why I went, and people, I'm sure, are looking at it through the Facebook page. And if they want to go, once again, the website.
Go Night Trax, and it's GONITETRACK.
And y'all going to see this, because it's hard to, I'm going to try to explain it with words, but people go see it. If you're using a Q-beam, your horizon or your coverage is dependent on the diffusion of the light coming out of the Q-beam.
The distance of your beam is going to be your world.
Right. It ends at the edge. There's that edge of it, right? Mm-hmm. It's nowhere beyond that. At a certain right. place, it falls off, and it's eaten up by the dark.
Right.
In this, it's not trying to do... You're seeing light that's there. You're not putting light on things. So in looking at your videos, you do. You mentioned the horizon a couple times. You see the horizon, like daytime, you see where the sky ends and land begins, or the water begins.
Exactly. People ask me all the time, well, what's the range on it?
Right.
And I tell them to the horizon. The other benefit, too, if you have some of the more modern electronics out there, regardless of the manufacturer, we're going to interface with it. So you don't have to hold up binoculars if you have that version of night vision. You don't have to wear goggles anymore like I had to back in the days when we were...
For law enforcement.
You know, Miami Vice stuff, chasing
right.
smugglers. You don't have to do that. It'll interface with your MFD. You can just look down. It'll multiplex it for you. You're going to see your course on your plotter, and you're going to see what's out in front of you to the horizon.
So this comes in, plugs in the back of different units, and so, and what Kevin's talking about is how you can, okay, you're going to split screen between radar and bottom machine and this and science care, whatever. You can make that one of your screens and look at this.
Absolutely.
And so it's all, and I don't know, am I using the right term, heads-up display, or it's in front of you as you're driving the boat. You can look at that screen and see what's happening.
Sure. If you look down to watch your course,
okay,
and pick up the next channel marker, and then you illuminate your LED bar or your handheld Q-beam, that's one way to look at it. Or you can just flip a switch on our infrared illuminator, and those signs will light up like
you're not
Las
having
Vegas.
To hold anything.
No, sir.
You're holding the throttle, you're holding the helm.
Your hands are on the controls, and that's where we want it.
Right, your hands are on the controls, and you're looking at a immediate representation of what's in front of you. And that I want people to see that horizon thing, you've said it a couple of times, and it's hard for me to explain, but that's, don't think about it in the old idea of, that's what hit me, where you're casting some sort of light out, whether it be white light or an infrared light, and that's the definition. It's... The horizon is probably the best way to explain it. You just see what's there.
Well, it's no different than looking at the horizon during the daytime.
Right.
At night, you're going to see the same representation of the horizon. You're going to see what's out there because everything in nature reflects light. If there's ambient light of any kind to the molecular level, this sensor is the genie in the bottle, and you're going to see that reflected light as it's conveyed into a video signal on your MFD.
And it's the same thing we talk about with how, you know, deer or coyote, bobcat, the way their eyes are and the way the retinas are, the rods in their eyes, they can see, they can pick up the ambient light. They're not casting out any light. They can just pick up the light that's there where we can't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's that same kind of idea. You're
very, very similar.
You're grabbing the light that's there. You're not throwing some sort of light on it.
Right. Right. You can with the infrared illuminator.
Right. You were showing me for channel markers.
Right, right. Channel markers are particularly
sensitive. Those babies glowed when you did that.
Yeah, yeah. And the great thing is you don't get the white blur.
Right.
And your eyes have to readjust to the darkness. That infrared beam, you don't even see it. It's out there, and the reflected paint on those channel markers just pop. And I tell everybody it's like Las Vegas.
it's cool when you did it. He said, watch this. So we're watching the video, and it's really impressive just without that, because I could see like it's daytime. You see the horizon, hear the channel markers. I could, oh, there's a channel between here's right and left. And then you hit the thing, and it's just like ding, 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 ding.
Yep, right down the road.
Okay. You talked about the different kinds of setup. So you have the... you have the one that's more standard to mount on a boat, right?
We call it the marine model.
Marine model.
People,
okay.
People mount it to their.
How
their
big
T-top.
Is this thing? How big is this thing? For describe to people.
8 inches by 2 inches. It's a rectangular tube, basically. The infrared illuminator is a much smaller pod below the main casing of the camera.
So that, I mean, it is, and the handheld is like a radar gun or smaller.
It looks like a police radar gun. Yeah, it's been described as that.
That's the best thing for me to understand.
Yeah, exactly. And you hold it the same way. And it will create an image on a 7-inch monitor that we include with it. And that monitor is a 400 by 800 marine monitor, which gives you 320,000 pixels of clarity. That's an incredible amount of vision at night. Incredible clear picture for you at night.
And you could do this. You can have this handheld, or like you said, with the Marine unit, you have the pro kit to be able to move it.
Right.
So you have the ability to take this. This is not permanent to one boat. You can move it to your other boat.
We want everybody to be safe at night, and it would make sense if they're going to play on their boat, they're going to play on other things. Why not mount the camera to other things and enjoy yourself and be safe?
Y'all check it out once again, the website.
www.gonitetrack.com.
Okay, and I don't want to let the cat completely out of the bag, but we may be with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors showing y'all one of the maybe uses that you hadn't thought about yet for it, right? A reptilian use.
That's right.
Okay, well, we'll debut that.
Little tease.
In August. Hey, by the way, before I let you go, so what do you like to fish in Miami? What do you do?
Offshore. Fish with an old boy named Bouncer Smith.
Oh, Bouncer.
Sailfish. Big grouper.
Yep.
Goliath sometimes have been broken off a few times. Haven't caught one yet.
Just a side note, and this is not an issue we have, but my buddies back in South Florida, they said this Goliath thing is out of control. They said there's wrecks and stuff that they try to go fish now.
Oh, yeah.
That used to have a bunch of fish that has one or two Goliaths on it, and that's like it.
Yeah.
Is that a thing that they've taken over some of these wrecks?
Well, I guess the eating's good for them. They bring a lot of smaller fish around. And
you can't even take them out of the water. Did you get your picture?
With a proper-sized crane.
Well, sure, but I'm saying it's like even, but there's no retention.
No, and they're somewhat protected, too. So
that's what I'm saying. You can't keep... But they said
they're humongous.
Good deal. Kevin, thank you for your time. Thanks for being on the show.
All right, buddy.
All right, coming right back. We are live at the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. We'll talk some numbers and also talk numbers of tickets, numbers of fish, some of the big fish caught so far. And we'll talk to the president of the 86th Annual Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. All coming up. Back, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, and we are live from the 86th Annual Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo on Dolphin Island. Sure hope if you stop on by and say hello, grab one of our FM Talk 106.5 floating keychains and huggers. We got those, but the floating keychains, I think we would be the only radio station in the United States that would have floating boat keychains for a station. But then again, we're all kind of different down here, aren't we, guys?
Oh, yeah. Right.
This is awesome. We got the El Presidente. And we can call you President Slinger. What do you go as?
Yes, sir. I'm Justin Thompson.
Yes, sir.
President Slinger,
not,
I guess.
I'm not that old, man. Quit, Justin. Quit. So you are president this year, and of course, VP of publicity, the man that makes it happen other than you.
Right. Yeah, I got Corey here with us, too.
I got to tell you, right now, when he came walking in here and he talked with you on the phone, he said, hey, or we got the final numbers. Can we talk about that? Holy cow, man.
Yeah, we had a record year this year. We're really excited to say that we had 4,210 tickets purchased.
Now explain to people what that means too. That's individual angler tickets.
Right, that is individual anglers. We've never hit north of 4,000. So it's kind of always the president's goal to say we're going to try to sell 4,000 tickets this year. But it's kind of one of those things that maybe one day we can do it, but don't fully expect it. You know,
to love it's to see on it your happen, watch that it happened, man.
Yeah, that's
that
right.
Fantastic.
That's right. We had an amazing year. It's all thanks to the VPs. They've put in all the work, like Corey, and sponsors made it all happen, and people like you, Sean, getting us on the radio.
Well, I mean, y'all have, and I always love having y'all on the shows and talking about it, because it's one of these things that's not only a fishing tournament, something that I love, fishing, but it's also kind of like, whether it be Mardi Gras or New Year, it's like, it's one of these things that's part of our culture here.
That's,
I mean,
right.
Y'all are bigger than a fishing tournament, because it has, you know what, saying rodeo time immediately means stuff. Along the Gulf
That's
Coast,
right.
It brings back memories for people where they know what it is. The brand, y'all's brand is very strong. To be a marketing nerd, but the brand is strong.
That's right. Yeah,
and it's global now too. Heck.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, of course, we have all our apparel that we sell every year, and I mean, people literally make a trip to the island just to buy, you know, some rodeo
shirts.
They
collect
it.
They collect it. Right.
Yeah.
They would not miss a year, because it would mess up collection of shirts. They got to have it. I want to take a second here. I talked about this with Corey the other day, and we'll get into fish, and I want to talk fishing and fishway and rock and roll shows. But for a second here, I don't think this is brought up enough. And what y'all as the JCs do with the money you make from this tournament, with the money that comes in for the Roy Martin, the stuff that we sing and we sing the praises of the rodeo and the 4,200 plus people in and the fun we're having down here. But y'all are a leadership group and you're a charity organization.
That's right. Yes, sir. We, you know, we're all
yes,
volunteers.
Sir, one more time. Yes, sir. Come across Corey with the right. Yeah.
Right. Can I move?
we're all volunteers, you know, so we do this in our spare time. But yeah, everything that we bring in, we donate back. University of South Alabama is, we make yearly contributions to them. We've donated over $400,000 to them now.
Wow.
Over the years. We made donations to St. Jude this past year to the Bridge Program at Children's Women's Hospital.
Stone Soup.
We have Stone Soup Project where we cook for needy families during Christmas time. We take kids children shopping tour that the JCs do. We take kids shopping for Christmas presents for their family, and you know, we try to give back as much as we can.
And y'all are doing that. That's what I'm saying. You're talking about things you're doing at Christmas and year round, and I think people, they think JCs, they think the rodeo, but I want to make sure they know about all the other stuff. I mean, this, even if y'all weren't doing the charitable things, this would be a fun tournament, but it's so much better
right. Because
of what the money goes to.
Right.
And I've said this, speaking of money, we were saying it earlier. If people will drive to Florida or Louisiana or whatever to get a lottery ticket to have a 1 in 694 million chance and, you know, winning some lottery thing, if they come down here, they weigh in a legal fish, they're in the best odds I think I've ever heard of would be to win this
$100,000 boat.
Yep. I mean, yep. Just run the numbers here, y'all. If you've ever driven and bought a lottery ticket, look at these odds. So it's, I mean,
4,210.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we talked about it. Probably not all those will weigh in.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, all you got to do is catch a legal fish from any of our 30 categories.
You don't have to win the category. You don't have to. You just have to enter that fish.
The biggest prize does not go to the biggest fish.
Yeah. Right.
It goes into a random drawing, or each angler that weighs in that fish goes into a random drawing. We'll draw live on stage tomorrow afternoon, probably about 6:30. We'll draw the winner's name live on stage in front of the crowd, and if they're not here standing in the crowd, that's fine. But we'll give them a call, and we'll play the phone call over the speaker system.
Do you ever edit out when you say, "Hey, you just won the boat"? They go, "Holy!"
Yeah. There's been a couple times.
Dude, so, oh, beep. Yep. Yeah, we'll have to edit that on the fly.
That's right.
Also, talking about the kind of chances of winning, we were talking about this last hour too, Corey. If you're in, for example, in the speckled trout jackpot.
Mm-hmm.
Odds are even better at winning that Blazer Bay.
How many spec do you remember? I mean, probably 800-ish.
No, I think it was about, I want to say it was somewhere around 700 or so spec jackpot tickets. I can't remember the exact number.
So you now have a 1 in 7-something-hundred. Well, it depends
at winning a, you know, that's in our Yamaha Motors, Blazer Boats, L&M Marine, speckled trout jackpot. Blazer Boats gave us a 19-foot Blazer Bay. It's got a 90-horsepower Yamaha show on a sport trail trailer. So, you know, that's another random drawing. Not the biggest fish, but you got to be in that jackpot. All of our jackpots have multiple random drawings. You know, like I told you before, we've got a four-wheeler. We've got boat lifts. We've got night tracks. You know, just...
This is why y'all, the people who are listening to us who don't fish it, this is why it's worth... This is why there are some people come in and go, I'm coming down. I'm entering, obviously, the main rodeo ticket. I'm going to enter this jackpot and this jackpot. I'm going to go catch... these fish, I'm going to weigh them in, and then they may be done for the weekend.
They may
have done that on Friday, may do that today, and they may be done for the weekend.
Yep.
Because they go, you know what, I don't have a chance of beating so-and-so or so-and-so, but this is the best way to get in the lottery to win a boat or a four-wheeler.
That's why I'm fishing. It just takes one bite, man.
I mean, that's what people, I want to make sure they understand. If they're not fishing this year and they're new to the area and they don't understand, the biggest prize does not go to the biggest fish.
Right.
I mean, it's random.
Right. Yep.
And it's what I think keeps us all engaged, keeps me paying attention the whole way through the end of tomorrow.
That's right. Have you weighed your fish yet, Sean?
I have not. I have not fished yet. So yesterday.
He is. He was going to go today, but...
Yeah, it was raining, then I'm doing this.
He had to come see me.
But it's okay. This afternoon and tomorrow will be good. But y'all know that over the years, I do exactly that. You'll see me come in.
Yep.
I say, I'm here to get in.
That's right.
Weigh whatever fish it is. and make sure to get in. I'm going to talk about this, too. 86 years. 86th Annual Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. Obviously part of our culture, the culture of the whole area, the culture of Dolphin Island, big time. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty cool because you are a legacy president.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, my dad was president in 1998. So I literally grew up around the rodeo site, you know, running around as being a kid. So now, 21 years later, I ran for president, won, and it's definitely surreal to see the other side of it, you know.
Wow, so, I mean, you were back then. So you were a kid on
this
side.
I would have been 12. Oh, no, I was 11 when my dad was president.
21 years ago. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're giving. So this year you're giving away the biggest contender that we've ever given away.
That's right.
21 years ago, this is the 21st contender that we're giving away. Right. So what'd your dad do?
So the contender, this is the 21st year we've given a contender away. It is the biggest one we've ever given away. It's 24-footer this year. But the contender deal started 21 years ago with my dad when he met up with some of the contender owners down in Miami and went to the Miami Boat Show, and which we still do to this day, go down there and see contender and Yamaha and, you know, some of our big sponsors. But he walked into the contender booth and walked out with a donated boat to the Alabama Deep Sea Fish Rodeo, and they've been there since.
It was very official, wasn't it?
That's right. Yeah. They wrote up the deal on a bar napkin, I believe, is what they did.
My kind of deal.
That's
it's obviously stuck.
Yeah, and he's he's the first one that's ever done this. He's the first legacy out of 86 years.
Yep.
Pretty awesome.
Yep.
A lot of things coming together, and it's great to have. We talked about this before, too. The changes y'all have gone through, while we talk about tradition and legacy of the rodeo, Alabama DC Fishing Rodeo has also changed with the times.
Right.
I mean, technology-wise, category-wise, y'all shuck and jive pretty good.
Yeah, we try to keep it, we have the best interest of the spectators and the anglers at heart, you know, so anything that we can do to improve, and we take the feedback, you know, and that's what we run with, you know, for the next year. So there's always, you know, some years it's a,
because we're your clients,
it's a little change,
right? We're your clients.
Absolutely.
You know, sometimes it's a little change, sometimes it's a big change, you know, so we just kind of adapt with the times.
And, you know, one of those things too, like a change, one of the big changes, when you first were coming on with me months ago, talk about it, you talked about the change in the Crane Works Red Snapper Jackpot. When we come back from the break, I want to talk about how that worked, if it was all right, if it was successful or not.
All we can do all that.
We'll continue our discussion. We are live on the rodeo site for the 86th Annual Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. You are live at the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. Special two-hour edition of the show. And we'll get this podcast posted up as soon as possible, too. You can go back and check it out. Some of the things we talked about, and we got more VPs in here. Corey's been in here. President Slinger's left.
Yep, we got Stephen Pierre. He was my he's my AVP, my right-hand man.
All right, so it's really the two of y'all that made this whole thing happen. Now that Justin's out of here.
Nah, man. Slinger orchestrated it all. Like I tell everybody, hey, what does the vice president of publicity do? I say, it's my job to talk about it.
That's right.
You know, so I deal with all the media, all the TV, all the radio, all the social media. That's been my gig.
I think that's one.
And
of
you talked to Lee. You talked to Lee yesterday.
Yep.
You know.
I think one of the things that stands out here is that you talk about the media portion of this. I've been around a lot of tournaments, and listen, you'll have outdoor shows pay attention to a fishing tournament, right? If the Bassmasters in or something like that, I would absolutely pay attention to it with this show. But we wouldn't have been talking about it during my weekday show.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And around here, TV, print, radio, we all pay attention because it's kind of bigger than a fishing tournament. It's a thing. It's like a Mardi Gras. It's like a cultural event. Yeah. I mean, y'all takes a lot of work to put on something that becomes part of the fabric of a community, but you've done it.
Yeah, I mean, 86 years, you know, people get ingrained, you know, it's a family event. You know, I remember growing up fishing it with, you know, my dad, and, you know, fished it up until the time that I decide, hey, I want to get involved in that, you know. So right. Part of me misses, you know, fishing, but I get more out of, you know, helping and help putting it on.
I do think about that with so many of y'all that I know, and I know you fish, and I go, they don't get to fish it all this weekend.
Not yet.
And next weekend, y'all don't either because you've got the kids coming.
Right. So, you know, we had to, you talked about changes, you know, we had to stick and move and make a hard decision last week to, you know, something that we work all year for, you know, and plan for to move it because of the weather, you know. But with
Barry, with the bad,
put it in reverse, Barry. You know, with you take the good with the bad, you know, and we had to make that hard decision last week, and we're off to the, you know, record-setting numbers, you know. So we got the good with the bad, but it has been.
But we're still going to get the kids are still
right,
going to get the fish.
It hadn't, you know, the big,
a week from today.
Right,
yeah.
Week. It's on the 27th, you know. It's all running together. Mm-hmm. You know, the big word is it did not get canceled. It got postponed, you know. So
I said rescheduled.
We had some people saying, oh, it got canceled, you know, and I'm, you know, telling everybody, no, it wasn't recanceled. It was postponed. You know,
right.
We're still having it. It's the 27th. That's usually the weekend. What would you say? That's usually the weekend, week and a half, we get to relax normally.
Right.
And
yeah.
Then before we start planning again. But now we don't, you know. So it's going to be, we're going to be rocking and rolling, man. But, you know, like you said, it's a family event. You know, we're a fishing tournament at heart. That's what we do. That's what we focus on. But, you know, in the last 5, 6, 7 years, you know, we're kind of turning it more into a family event, you know.
Well, I've been giving y'all grief for at least 5 years when I said, you know, is it not enough to have the world's largest multi-day fishing tournament? Now you're going to be a music festival on top of that.
Yeah, well, you know, we have good music throughout the whole weekend. You know, last night we had yesterday evening we had Blues and Trouble play, followed up by, you know, a local favorite, the Molly Ringwalls. They were presented by the United States Air Force today.
Which brought the population on Dolphin Island to the highest number ever, I believe.
I thought it was going to sink. I thought they were going to sink the whole island.
You know, today we got Prime Country coming on early afternoon, 11. Actually, no, it's not 11. It's 3. And then
it's okay, man. You're a day and a half in.
Five,
it's okay.
Yeah, at 5, we've got the Red Clay Strays, another great music
and
act.
I love if y'all, they're boys out of Citronelle. If you've not seen these guys,
they're phenomenal.
Fantastic.
I saw them over Mardi Gras.
I mean,
and they were absolutely, I'd heard about them. And so everybody, you got to go see them, Sean. You'll like them. And I saw them at a ball, and I went, whew. I like that.
They're young. They're great guys.
Got some pompadour hair.
You know, if I had to make a bet on, you know, a band local going big, mm-hmm. that's who I'd place my.
Y'all need to come hear them. They're great.
But we have that coming on at 5 o'clock, and we've got all that is free. Free, you know, we have the Mobile Chevrolet stage. All the music and all that stuff is on that stage all weekend. With sponsors like that is the reason why it is open to the public. It is free of charge. Come down here, have a good time. We've got a ton of
fish.
Look at fish. Listen to music. Go shopping. You know, we've got a bunch of sponsors.
Mossy Oak is here. I think that's cool.
Oh yeah, they're here.
And Kaisik.
Yeah, Kaisik Coolers is here.
Okay, Kaisik Coolers. And they've got their coolers are high tech. But the dang vehicle they have set up here is about. As a guy that has a mobile vehicle for a radio station, I'm now. I used to love this cruiser. I now feel like I got to do better.
You got to go talk to the station, man.
Yeah, that thing is unreal.
It's crazy.
So, and if people come down here and shop, and of course, they got to get T-shirt.
Rodeo merch. I would recommend if you are.
Let's talk about that because I don't want somebody
if you were looking
ticked off at us
you know,
tomorrow.
If your plan was to come in on Sunday or whatever and buy T-shirts, you know, I would highly recommend.
You might be out of luck
unless you can wear a schmedium.
Yeah, you know, we're having a phenomenal year for that.
We're even short on schmedium, Sean.
I mean,
really?
Come down here if you're wanting merch. I highly recommend coming down today to get your merch because it is selling extremely, extremely fast.
You got the T-shirt. You got the hats.
Got performance shirts. We've got buffs. We've got huggers. We've got copies of this year's print.
Kid sizes.
Yeah, we got kids shirts. Our T-shirts are in multiple colors. Our performance shirts are in multiple colors. Our hats are in multiple colors. The feedback that we've received on the print, you know, that Slinger and the Bonnie Fly design, it's absolutely beautiful.
Tell people that who don't know, if they look at the t-shirts, you see somebody walking around in one of those t-shirts, there's a significance to the things going on the artwork.
Right. So, like Slinger just mentioned, he has a legacy. His dad's print, whenever he designed it, was very heavily oriented to Mahi. So Slinger wanted to keep that, you know, kind of theme in his print. So that's, you know, it is on the print this year. It's on the boat this year. You know, there's some artwork, once again, from the Bonnie Fly on the boat. You know, Gulf Coast Graphics is the one who wrapped the boat. The boat has the Mahi and the Mossy Oak elements pattern on it. It looks really, really sharp. There's usually, and a lot of people don't know this, they don't really pay attention to this, but usually there's a couple boats in a print.
Mm-hmm.
And on those boats, they're typically named.
Names on the boats.
You know, so I want to say on Slinger's print, there's three boats. You know, one of them is Rhett, and that's his six-month-old son, you know, name. There's a Miss Megan, that's his wife's name. And I want to say the other one is Shazam,
mm-hmm.
and that's
Shazam,
his. That's the boat that he grew up fishing. You know, fishing on. It was his grandfather's boat. So there's, in these prints, they not only look good, but I mean, you can go. There's a lot of tradition and personal ties,
yeah.
and you know.
If you know what to look for, now that you've heard Corey tell y'all, you'll look at the shirts differently now. You'll look at them and go, oh, that's this.
There's Easter eggs.
Yeah.
Yeah, Easter eggs. That's right. The Easter eggs on the shirt. All right. Once again, y'all come down, check out the music, check out the merchandise, and check out the fish. We got anything in the live tank right now? How are we looking in the live tank?
Have you been down there? I've been in your van for the last couple hours.
That's right, because I got great air conditioning in Arizona.
I imagine if the weigh station's open, there is a live fish in it.
Y'all, it's a chance to come see a live speckled trout or redfish.
There was a blackfish in there yesterday.
It was big, too.
They kept a blackfish alive.
Mm-hmm.
Triple tail, y'all, that they're from around here.
Then buoy bass.
Buoy bass. That's right. Big saltwater brim. They kept him alive.
Oh, yeah, it was live. They tagged it.
I'm impressed.
It. Yeah.
Because we were talking the first hour with Captain Bobby Averscato about some of the techniques used to keep speckled trout and redfish alive. And, you know, I was thinking about that. I'd never thought about, you know, keeping it. You got to have a heck of a live well.
Heck of a live well.
I don't know who it was, but there's a guy who brings them in every year live, blackfish. And he's got a pretty good setup.
You know,
it's the same dude. It's, you know, he's got a good setup.
You know, and that,
blackfish.
That's impressive.
That goes to speak about our anglers. You know, they're caring more about conservation.
It is
you
a know, different, y'all, you, it's a different vibe
you know,
these days.
And we're pushing for that. That's why we have the live speckled trout bonus, the live redfish bonus. You know, these guys are realizing, hey, I love to do this stuff. I don't have to keep it all.
Right,
you
and blue water and tarpon are catch and release.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's phenomenal. You know, come down here, see that tank. It's beautiful, clear water. The guy that has the tank went over to Orange Beach to get the water, you know, from MRD. So.
Hey, we're starting to get some decent water around Dolphin Island.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's better than it's been.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for the work y'all put into this, and thanks for having us out.
Thank you, Sean.
All right. We will be here throughout the weekend. Stop on by and say hello. Got some of those floating keychains for your boat keys with FM Talk 106.5 on them. Love to give them to you. All right. See y'all.